Patio's the best spot to park, eat, and drink. Take the stress out of game day and make Patio's your pregame and postgame one-stop shop. Get a free beverage when you park with Patio's. Patio's, St. Louis's original baseball bar.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Jamming today, baby.
Yeah,
I saw the Motown the musical.
Oh, I bet that was
this past
good.
Weekend. It was really good, man. I saw it in Kansas City.
Nice.
My mom's a huge Motown fan, so we went up and we got our tickets to it for Mother's
Day. How can you not be
Day.
A huge
it was,
Motown?
It was jamming.
Yeah. Motown don't play. And speaking of tunage, 590 The Fan is partnering with Lou Fest once again this year and offering 1 and 2 day passes for the exclusive area, the Cools Hangout. At the festival in Forest Park this September 9th to 10th. It's brought to you by Bud Light and Country Financial. Music artists include Snoop D-O-double-G, and he puts on a hell of a show. Weezer, Cage the Elephant, Doug's band Run the Jewels.
That's my band there. That's my jam.
Spoon is going to be there. Oh. Marion Hill, and so many more. For the same price as general admission tickets, listeners have access to the dedicated bathrooms, a private cash bar, outdoor lounge, lawn games with prizes, and the most important thing, mingling with some of the 590 The Fan show hosts. Tickets are first come, first serve, and are on sale now. Visit InsideSTL.com and get yours before they're gone.
Now, we had talked, folks, about how they can win $1 billion.
Right.
And there seems to be some confusion still. I know Doug has tried to clear this up, but something's not going through to these guys. The right silly limbing text in, Doug, the promo code Baby Got Back isn't working.
No,
can you come sit on my face and type it in for me?
Whoops, that could be the first time the pen gets used.
That's the right city limbing there, Doug.
Right city limbing just got himself suspended for those remarks, I mean. He got himself suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension logule.
Well, how's 11 it going
locations,
in there?
There'll be one near you. Right city.
You got to have a pen to get in.
I am writing it down with a pen, an ink pen that I got from Wright Business Products. They will brand all of your business supplies as they did mine. Thank you, Wrightsy.
Has that guy texted back in yet to apologize for his fact-checking being wrong?
You know, I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
there
he won't.
Seems to be some
disbelief
that you actually had a relationship with that figure skater.
Well, I don't really care what you think.
Okay.
But
I'm just telling you
now. But if you want to call me out on things, that's fine. Like, I apologize for the creep core. They called me out on the fan page, and
I
said, whoops, and I apologized.
See, he's actually doubling down. Meat Rocket 8 says, hey, Iggy, the Beetle had a rear engine until at least 1979. And then he had some insults after that, but I'm just going to try to keep it to the...
Go ahead and read them. I don't care.
He said, you greasy Cheeto.
Okay, come on. That's enough.
He told me to read it.
Iggy, did you ever put on sequins, maybe a bellhop outfit, and do some skating with Ty?
I'm far from greasy.
What led you to Ty?
And we only have a couple minutes before Derek Gould comes on. We want to save this for later in the show.
Go ahead and save it for later, I can tell you. But I can tell you, and I haven't looked it up, but if somebody wants to look it up, I can guarantee you that Ty and Randy never won a gold medal in the Olympics. They never won a medal in the Olympics, and I believe they've only skated in it once. Jay and I were trying to figure out. I want to say it was 80 that they withdrew. And they might have skated in the Olympic before that, which would have been 76, but I know they didn't medal. So to say that you're fact-checking Iggy's wrong again, they've won medals, gold medals. No, they haven't.
They qualified for the 76 and 80 games, but were not medalists.
No, they weren't.
So that fact-check was incorrect. We're still waiting on the Volkswagen where the engine was, fact-check.
Well, it was the one I had was in the front. But they won many national championships and U.S. titles, but sure, they never won an Olympic medal. So
well, they could skate like the
go ticket. Check your facts elsewhere.
You didn't skate.
He says I was wrong about the figure skater. I'll apologize for that.
There you go. Thank you.
That's all Iggy wanted.
That's all I wanted. Just check anything you want on me, and if I'm wrong,
you'll admit it.
Point it out, and I will apologize.
How did you come?
Now nobody apologized. Nobody read anything yesterday. They accused you guys of not reading the text yesterday. Proving me wrong because you didn't want to prove me wrong. But you have to understand on the text line is that I don't see the text. Every once in a while, Plowsy has it up. I know Charlie has it up. You always have it up.
Yeah,
but
I didn't see those yesterday.
Yeah, but when one comes up, you read it. And then if you go back to talking about sports and we're all looking at each other, the next time you look at the text line, there's been 100 since then. So you can't read every text. So it wasn't that they were trying to protect me. Oh, they're trashing Iggy. He was wrong. No, trust me, they would have read it if they'd have seen it. I didn't know I was wrong until I saw the fan page, and I apologize. I didn't know there was a park besides Creekcore Lake.
A park there. Yeah.
And supposedly there's baseball fields and all kinds of stuff to do over there. I said there's nothing to do at the park except for a lake and a couple of benches.
Yeah, looks right. Like I'm getting a couple different answers on Google. 95 or 98 are when the Beatles put the engine in front.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, they stopped making the Beetle in like early 70s.
Yes.
70, and then the new one came out in 98 or 99 when I got mine.
I think it was 98.
That was the first new Beetle in like 30 years. And they had the engine in the front.
Probably a safety issue. You want a little something in the front of the car.
Yeah,
if
don't
you run into something.
An empty space that can collapse as the semi speeds
probably
to
not
your
what you want.
Source code.
And they were
probably
loud as hell. Once you got on the highway and the old Beetles, my sister had one. Oh, my God. If you were sitting in the back seat, you couldn't hear yourself talk.
I also
they
think
were so loud.
For trunk purposes, most places you pull in front first. So you probably want your trunk in the back. So it's easier to get to
when
you're parked.
Right. You know who would not front first?
No, who?
Would always park backwards.
I don't pee. Who does that?
Fesco.
Ugh.
Why?
I don't know.
Just
I
to
used
get
to ask him.
Quick start out of the pits?
I never understood it. He'd do it, and I go, you did it again? And he'd go, yeah, I just pull right out. And I'm like, well, I just back right out.
which way do you think Bob Tway parked, Doug?
Bob Tway parked wherever the hell he wanted. He was the 1986 PGA Championship, a.k.a. Brillo.
That opened a lot of parking spaces for him.
He valleyed everywhere.
And 45% of America thinks he is heterosexual.
Tway?
Bob Tway.
Yeah.
There's a website dedicated
maybe
to that.
Maybe the fact that he's got a son that plays on the tour might lead him to believe that he's
See, we should have called Jay that day that you guys were
debating Tway's.
Yeah.
What time is Gould coming on?
He's on right now. He's listening to this fine conversation. We'll bring him in.
I'll answer Jay's question after this.
Please, please stick around for that. Derek Gould joins us now on the Appliance Discounters phone lines, and he brought to you by GFI Digital. I think we had him, and then we lost him, perhaps because we were just discussing Bob Tway.
I'm not coming on some Bob Tway show.
Don't forget about Bob Tway. Never do.
Never forget about Bob.
I always seem to be telling a story when Derek's on hold, and he probably just gets so bored and hangs up, and I don't blame him.
No, I just think he probably evaluates his career and how much he values it and realizes that this show could be something that
we've had Derek on for years, and I know for a fact he has heard much worse than a potential Bob Tway gay discussion.
Well, there's probably a lot of cell phone towers between here and San Francisco, too.
We're not going to put Bob Tway in the gay category. We're not even going to broach it.
Do we know if he's in Frisco? Because it seems like every time we say, how's everything in Chicago? I didn't go this week.
He is in San Francisco. He was on the plane yesterday. I talked to him myself, and you will talk to him right now. Derek Gould joins us thanks to GFI Digital, which provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. You let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online, gfidigital.com. See what I did there, Iggy? I didn't include the www dot because yesterday
Good
you said
boy.
That makes me sound like an old man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nobody uses that. Use
okay,
the I'm HTTP / www dot.
Derek, how are things in San Francisco?
Actually, man, I'm in Palo Alto.
Ah, dagnabbit!
I'm in Frisco.
Told
no,
you.
No, I'm kidding. I'm in San Francisco.
You're going to meet a team that in Milwaukee lost a heartbreaking, very important game in a stunning fashion with Keon Broxton's catch at the wall, and also found out that they're without Mike Leake, who's been traded to the Mariners. What do you make of how this team is sorting through this right now? It sounded like the guys in the clubhouse that Rick Hummel talked to in Milwaukee were not real thrilled with the trade that freed up a spot for Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think, contenders don't trade starters like Leake. So sort of a mixed message to the clubhouse. Hey, go out and compete. Oh, and by the way, we're going to take some innings away from you. So, major league players like known quantities. They view things a little differently than front offices, which sometimes bet on upside and, look at value and stuff. Clubhouses tend to value experience and guys who have been there and past performances. It's just how the players are wired. Even when they become free agents, they want to be paid for past performance. So that means a lot to them. And what they saw was a guy walking out the door who, while he's had his struggles, also had a sub-2 ERA, at one point this season and is a quality start fiend when he – is on his best. What they see walking in is unproven. So, I think it definitely is a clubhouse, unsure what should be expected of it. And then that just adds to a year where the front office has used moves to upset the roster quite a bit, has yet to use a move to add to it.
Derek, is this minor league shortstop they got, is this a legitimate prospect or just a guy that they sent to the Cardinals so they didn't have to say, well, we got nothing in return for Mike Leake?
Boy, is there a middle point there, Doug? Or
I don't know. Players? I don't know.
Oh.
I'm asking you.
I mean, I don't think it's those extremes. I think it's a good fielder who, pretty similar to infielders that the infielder that the Cardinals got a few years ago for Mark Szczepanski. A guy with a good glove, can play shortstop and see what happens. You know, a guy who can play shortstop can move around, and maybe that's how he advances. We'll see, but not a prospect that's going to, not like an O'Neill, who, could be one of the Cardinals' top 10 prospects, next year. But, he isn't that type of prospect.
So the Cardinals ship $700,000 in international cap space and also about $17 million to move Leake. Did those, obviously, if you're going to get rid of Leake, I think the reason that a lot of people this move kind of came as a bit of a surprise was because nobody really thought there'd be a team out there that wanted Leake at this point, the way he had pitched. But you knew that if they were going to get rid of him, they'd have to get rid of some money. Did the numbers surprise you? Did that seem about right for a team looking to offload that contract?
It's a good question because I don't really know how to map the precedent, for how much it takes to have somebody else swallow a contract, because it really is different from team to team. There are teams that will take on whole contracts, to give up less. There are teams that want full coverage of teams. I think it's interesting that in this case, the Cardinals definitely had to act like the bigger market team, sort of the higher revenue team to the Mariners. And, all things being equal, I don't think people are saying, oh, well, St. Louis is a bigger town or a bigger city or has a bigger market than Seattle. But here they were the team that had to act like the larger team. But there's also a tacit admission here. This kind of ties in with Doug's question about the player that they got in return is, the player that they got in return, there's no calculus that is going to say that's a $17.75 million value play. That's not how this works. So you can tell by how, quote unquote data driven, which is what the Cardinals call themselves, how data driven they are with their decisions, how, they were willing to pay to get out from under the Leake thing because they think they can get better value either in the marketplace or from their internal options elsewhere.
Do you think they would have gone ahead and made that trade if they hadn't got that minor league shortstop in return?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have made it even if they didn't get the player.
That would have been a difficult deal to do, but yeah. I mean, this deal wasn't about the minor league shortstop.
No.
That guy's not showing up.
No.
It was about getting Leake.
Right.
Yeah, we
are moving Leake.
How will you kind of?
I hope for your sake that you're buying your kid a jersey for the minor league shortstop.
I'm not. I'm gonna hold up on that.
That he turns out to be the star. But it wasn't about him.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't buy a major league jersey with a guy.
You can't find a Lance Lynn jersey.
Traded. Yeah,
that's for sure.
Can't find a Lance Lynn jersey. They can't even get his number right on the scoreboard.
Brutal. So how will you kind of? And we'll get to Lynn in a second because I want to ask you about his comments to commission in Milwaukee, but. How will you kind of define the Leake experiment here? Because when they brought him in, he was, the fill-in for an injured Lance Lynn. And a lot last year, I think this isn't going to be a well-received take right now because everybody's making Mike Leake sound like a total bum, and he certainly was bad after his great start to this year. But last year he was impacted by a severely flawed defense. He had that bout with shingles that really kind of threw him off for the rest of the year, something that he may or may not have battled this season, the fallout from that still, depending on who you believe. But how do you kind of make the Leake era here, or lack that was, and the fact that they moved on from him so quickly I mean, what is the fallout, if any, from that? The fact that they just said, look, this isn't working. You usually don't see the Cardinals make moves like this. They're more patient, they tend to be.
Yeah, no, this is the first. I mean, you know, you have to go all the way back to, what, 2003, where they paid $7 million for the Tampa Bay Rays to take on Tino Martinez. And I think that's what this mostly compares to. Not to say that Mike Leake was as irascible or as difficult to deal with as Tino Martinez was. You know, he certainly was, and Tino Martinez was, I mean, Doug, I think, was around, right, with Tino Martinez.
Yep, sure.
You could say that he was relentlessly unhappy.
He was never thrilled to be here, I don't believe.
Yeah. He would talk about the Yankees, miss the Yankees, always want to be the Yankees, and he just had no place with the Cardinals. I think that's where this compares. Leake right from the start kind of saw what an awkward fit he was. I mean, he talked about it like in one of my first interviews with him, that he was trying to find his place in a clubhouse, you know, that didn't exactly always feel right to him. And he said sometimes a player either has to change or things have to change around him. And I thought that was pretty interesting for a guy in his first spring training to say. He was a pitcher who had his own kind of approach and his own kind of feel for things and his own kind of between work, program or between start program. And, you know, there were times where it didn't quite sync with some of the more, say, business-like approach with the Cardinals. But with the results did, then they don't mind. It's sort of the lesson that Lance Lynn learned, and, you know, Chris Carpenter had to tell him was, look, you can be whoever you want on the mound or between starts or whatever. You can be as sarcastic as you want and everything. Success forgives everything. You don't have success, though, then they start looking for reasons why you're not having success. Is it because you're not throwing between starts? Is it because you don't lift? Is it your nutrition? Is it your lack of starts? Is it your affect? You know, is it all these things? And then you have to deal with that. And if you go, no, I'm just not having success, this is who I am, you know, the Cardinals aren't alone in this. Every team will go like, well, yeah, no, but there's got to be a reason, so let's find it. And if they're overbearing, that can rub guys the wrong way. I think Leake was, in a lot of ways, a great fit on the mound for the Cardinals. He's the type of pitcher who 10 years ago would have flourished with the Cardinals, but just this time around just didn't quite work. So in a way, he was sort of an anachronism. He was a pitcher who would have been great for this team, like I said, 10 years ago. Sinker ball guy, I mean, he would have just flourished, but not now.
When you mentioned Lance and how he kind of walks to the beat of his own drum, and he even made those comments after the trade of kind of like Leake was a guy that we saw things eye to eye. We were a little different in here, kind of implying that they stick out a little bit and they don't always go with the grain in terms of that clubhouse. And he sounds like he's going to miss him, but also a lot of people were going, this immediately means the Cardinals are working on a deal for Lance Lynn, and this is a sign that they're going to give Lynn, you know, that they're going to secure him to a new contract before he hits free agency. It doesn't sound like that's been the case, according to Lynn, basically making it clear that he's had no discussions with the Cardinals, that they have not reached out to him. Basically, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth. His words were candid enough, but that kind of like he expects to hear from him the same time he expects to hear from every other team, and doesn't really make it sound like there's a lot of action on either side to get something worked out here. Is that how you read those comments, or is this something that it all goes away as soon as it's time to talk deals and the Cardinals will have just as good of a chance as anybody else?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what a lot of it will depend on. A lot of this depends on what guys want, and you know, you still how to put this. You know, sometimes teams want direct messages from team, you know, from players too, like Jason Hayward's an example, right? Jason Hayward, when he was with the Cardinals, didn't want the distraction of extension talks. And so the Cardinals, out of respect for him, kept their distance, right? And then he signs and he talks about how he didn't know, he didn't feel while he was with the Cardinals, you know, that they were really eager to have him back. And it's like, well, wait a minute. No, they, you know, which one did you want? Right. And now did the Cardinals misread it? Sure. I mean, they have, I mean, it's like gathering intelligence. You have to get a feel for a guy's personality to know how much to push, you know, like, you know, think back to when they signed Scott Rolen. That was a time when they really had a feel for, all right, well, this is a guy who's going to want security, who's going to want these things, and now's the time to have it. Then you look fast forward a bit to Matt Holliday, and this was a guy that they had to sell on, but they understood that they had to go into the marketplace, you know, to sign, and that if they just got him in the door, that they would win him over with the situation. Now, that hasn't happened here recently, but you do have to have a read on the player. And if Lance is saying things like this, then, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have a conversation. You know, they had a, I know that Lance and the front office had a talk here in the past, I guess, week, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 days. Was it about his contract? No. I mean, was it substantive work towards his contract? No. Was it about his situation? Yes. So I think you're just seeing a little bit of how the sausage is made, and definitely how two sides view what they want to do as far as positioning themselves. Lance Lynn has a conduit by talking to the media where he can set it up like, hey, look, the team's not doing anything. And then when he bolts, he sets it up well to say, well, the team never did anything. It wasn't that I didn't want to leave, you know, that I didn't want to stay in St. Louis. It's just that the team didn't do anything. That puts the team in a bad spot, but the Cardinals really haven't been a team that care about that PR. They have been a team who care about leverage, and they want to make sure when they go in, if they are interested in Lance Lynn, and, you know, increasingly it seems like he'd be a good fit for them, that they're not bargaining from a weakness. They don't want what Lance Lynn has said all year, or, you know, what the perception is of how many innings they have to cover next year, to be a reason why they have to add $10 million to an offer for Lance Lynn. They want to create bargaining strength. And if that is a position of apathy, then they'll take the PR hit to do it.
Yeah, well, you've seen the players kind of put them on a deadline before. That's how Yadier Molina got his deal. He made it very clear right. What he wanted and when he wanted it, and the Cardinals had to jump, and he said how high, and they got it done on Yadier's right. Timeline. And he was, I would describe him as bristly about the negotiations until they got what he wanted, then he was happy again. And that's kind of how it works. I don't know if Lynn has as much leverage, but he certainly has more now that Mike Leake is gone, and now that Michael Wacha is struggling and Adam Wainwright's on the DL.
Free agents. You know, like the stuff that he said, I mean, it definitely had a Lance coating on it. You know, I mean, it definitely was delivered by Lance.
Right.
But in theme, it wasn't anything different than Matt Holliday said. It wasn't anything right. Different than Jason Hayward
said.
It
right. Wasn't
anything different than than Kyle Loesch said.
Yeah. What do you make of the idea of giving Lance a new contract for the Cardinals? Now, the reason they moved Leake is because they have all this young, talented pitching that they want to create an avenue for, but they also, at some point, are going to want to bank on someone who's established and has those qualities. I mean, for as different as they are, the appeal of Leake and Lynn is somewhat similar in that they're going to take the ball every fifth day and they can give you 200 innings. Now, Lance is certainly doing that better than Leake was this year, but he's fine from after the Tommy John. He could be even better next year after the Tommy John if he gains distance from it. Is he a body type? Is he a kind of pitcher that you think holds up if they give him some sort of a longer-term deal?
Yeah.
Even though with the fastball and the lack of off-speed stuff, you think that fastball will maintain its velocity, that he's going to be... I mean, that was kind of like a similar conversation was had with Lackey, right?
Well, different... Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but different kind of pitchers, though. You know, I mean, Bartolo Colon's doing okay, right?
Well, a little heavy.
Not lately.
Fisher, a little heavy.
He's also way older than Lance.
But he's had a pretty long,
good
career slinging fastballs with movement on it and just being going after guys. I mean, you know, Lance has delivery that you go, oh, well, that's repeatable. Oh, well, he could do that for a while. Oh, well, there's not much to that. And, wow, the fastball is pop on it. He can do it at different speeds. He can go 91, 92 in the first inning. He can crank it up, you know, later in the inning. I think there's a predictability about the way Lance goes about things, and there's a durability about what he has found as this equilibrium of weight for him I think would be encouraging for any team that signs him.
I would like to argue that Lance also has a bit of a quality that might be good for this clubhouse. I think they missed it last year. I think when you have a lot of guys who are similar in many ways, that it's okay and good to have a guy who trends different in order for him to be kind of the usher to other guys who are in that camp. You don't want to have every single clubhouse full of like-minded guys, because if you have somebody different, they feel like they're alone. Lance, there's no reason that Lance hasn't been and couldn't continue to be kind of the shepherd for the black sheep.
That's a good way to put it. He also has been very helpful with some of the young players. You know, Alex Reyes has talked a lot about how Lance Lynn has been very inclusive with him and has helped him a lot. I think that the rusty nail theory works. I think it's good to have, it might even be good to have a chaos agent. The Cardinals might even benefit from having a position player like that, Tommy Pham, who, you know, calls it like he sees it or isn't afraid to call on teammates and say, hey, look, you know, this ain't right. It's one of the things where they were looking to trade for Adam Eaton. Adam Eaton has that kind of sandpaper, rub people the wrong way, sometimes in the clubhouse reputation. And when that was brought up to me, I kind of shrugged and said, so they could use that.
Yeah, it's interesting. This Giants team is bad, very bad. They have more losses now than I think they've had since 2013, and it's not even September yet.
It's an odd number year, Ben, Fred.
Well, they're worse than they usually are in odd number years. They're terrible. And the Padres are no better. If they've got to probably, they got to win both of these series and probably sweep them if they even stand any chance of being. I mean, they look like the season may very well have died in Milwaukee. I'm realizing
they may have.
But if they're gonna get another last breath here before the death rattle, it's got to be sweeping or at least significantly winning these series, right?
Yes. And today is the final day of August, and that means the Cardinals are positioned. They could do more moves today. They've told me, all right. I've heard a few times that they expect significant amount of transactions, toward the end of the month or as September arrives. And you already see some of that, right? Leak out. They'll have some kind of move today. Then Flaherty starting. Sandy Alcantara is being prepped for a promotion, so he's got to be added to the 40-man roster. You got some other guys who they will consider adding to the 40-man roster. They are in a spot where, they can throw numbers at this, but it wouldn't be all that surprising if you see a team starting to really reshape itself. And I'm not sure it'd be reshaping itself for a run at the division title, just reshaping itself.
Yeah, I agree. If they catch fire, then great. But this is more about the future, it seems like now. Derek, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the left coast there, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right, sounds good, Mr. Fredrickson.
All right,
see you guys.
All right, Goldie.
Hey, Mr. Fredrickson. Wow. Big respect.
He said good question, too. That's
becoming
three
the theme of the whole show.
It's three for me today. Just not, no one's keeping track, but Derek was brought to us by GFI Digital, which provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. GFIDigital.com is the website.
He talked about how Jason Hayward apparently didn't know where he stood and Lynn doesn't know where he stands. I always find it difficult to understand how the lack of communication can come about. I mean, these guys spend so much time together in clubhouses, on airplanes, and hotel lobbies, and cab rides to the park. It seems like there's just endless opportunities for casual conversation between the front office types or the ownership types and the players.
Yeah,
if somebody's on the bubble there not knowing what his future is, there's all kinds of opportunity to pull somebody aside in a casual way and say, listen, you're our guy. we really want to take care of you and let them know if you want them.
It's all about leverage. And, you know, he was probably okay with not hearing much. He sees Leak goes. He thinks what we all think when Leak goes, man, they need a starting pitcher more than ever. So I might just say that, look, I haven't heard from him in a while. You know, and he's it's not like he just threw it out there. He was asked. So he answered the way that he always answers, which is pretty blunt.
Molina, and pretty honest.
You notice when Molina geared up about his deadline for the Cardinals to get a new contract after he played in the World Baseball Classic and became the hero of Team Puerto Rico and was the you know, reminded everybody that he still got gas left in the tank? Yeah. I mean, there's a reason these things happen when they happen.
Michael's Flooring is now open in Dardine Prairie. Come see their new awesome location. They'll have huge savings on most everything in the store. Come check it out. Check out their Mohawk Strand. Smart Strand Silk with that DuPont Serona that Doug likes so much.
I insist on DuPont Serona.
And they've got the DuPont Serona with the Mohawk Smart Strand Ultra. The Ultra. Michaels wants you to shop the competition. First, go see what they've got. Go see what their prices are. And then bring in the competitor's bid, and they're going to beat it. When you think of Michaels, you should think local. Michaels has been local in the Lou for 20 years. In St. Charles, in West County, North County, and now the new location, Dardine Prairie.
You can have all the carpeting you want if you win this DraftKings thing this week. In fact, you can buy a couple of carpet stores probably.
Yeah, Michaels might be willing to listen to your offer.
Right. Football season's almost here. Absolutely no better way to get closer to the game than with DraftKings 1 week fantasy football. To celebrate, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest totally free to enter. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you know what you win? $1 billion.
Well, how do I do that?
It's free to enter, and you might win a... That's better than a lottery, because you actually get the, you know, with some smarts, and if you follow football closely and you have a good idea who might be playing well in that first week, you can spend nothing and get $1 billion back.
With a B.
Yeah. Get to DraftKings.com now and use this promo code. I'll give it here.
What is that code?
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
I'm trying to say that clearly so there's no confusion.
Well, now, Coach Tim on the text line asked, he said it's hunchback. Hunchback?
It's close to that.
But
it's
not it.
I'm trying to enunciate just best right. I can.
Uh-huh. Turnbuckle?
Quarterback.
Webster of Wien Peeker says the promo code to back that thing up is not working, but can you continue to back that thing up for me, Doug?
Well, no. The promo code is quarterback, and that's
how you
play.
Did you say Vince Tayback?
Vic
Quarterback is the code to play DraftKings free week one contest with $100,000 in total prizes. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win that $1 billion. That promo code, they would like me to give it again.
Yeah, what is it?
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
And that's the code that you put in there to take your shot at $1 billion. The contest totally free to enter again, so why wouldn't you try? I'm going to. The game is inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
I'm looking forward to that. Just type in hatchback and you'll be good to go.
Hatchback will get you nothing in this particular game. It will get you nothing. It'll get you rerouted to some car site.
You know, Vic Tayback was Mel. He was Mel Sharples.
Yes, I know who Vic Tayback was. I know who he was.
That was on your station.
That Mel? Mel's Diner?
Mel's Diner. Mel Sharples, yeah.
I don't understand these references.
You're not familiar with Mel Sharp.
You don't know Vic Tayback? Oh, boy, you missed a beauty there, fellow.
You didn't watch Alice with Florence Jean Castleberry?
Nope, sir.
You are a youngster.
Linda
now,
Lavin.
There was a suggested poll on the text line. It was better. Ty, Iggy's skater, which was, what was her last name?
Babylonia
or Wigginton.
Or who?
Wigginton.
Ty Wigginton.
No.
Which one?
Ty Babylonia was better.
Ty was better.
Yeah.
Now,
she shipped it.
I did want to ask, how did you and Ty become friendly?
How'd you meet her?
I mean, because you don't hang around the rink that much.
No, a friend of mine, actually my best friend back in the day, his wife was in charge of PR for the old arena.
It was being squeezed at the door.
When concerts and things would come to the arena, she was in charge of publicity and PR.
Okay.
And she knew that I was a big Ty Babylonia fan.
Well, who wasn't?
So she called me and said,
"Give you a jingle.
Opportunity of a lifetime for you. Somebody needs to pick." Ty and Randy were coming in for, I don't know, Disney on Ice, whatever that crap was.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
We need somebody to pick her up from the airport.
Can you
pick her up?
Yeah.
So I went and picked Ty and Randy up from the airport.
Hello, kiddo.
Was the connection
immediate? Hello, kiddo.
Was the connection immediate?
I don't know if it was immediate. We hit it off kind of talking. I wasn't a quiet type. So
no.
Did your eyes meet?
She was in the back seat. Randy was in the front seat. And That should have told me something right there. And yeah, so we were talking about, you know, have you ever been to St. Louis and skating? And,
yeah, getting to know her.
So went to the show.
There you were.
Hit it off. And I had to give him a ride back to the airport.
How about another ride? Lift.
And I said, my dad is a bartender at Charcoal House.
Nice.
I'd love to introduce you to my dad. Do you want to stop for a cocktail before we go to the airport?
Here's my pops. How about a drink?
So we did. We sat in the, I'll never forget it. We sat in the very corner.
Yep. Of the bar.
Table of the restaurant, which is on the side of the bar.
Yeah.
And I believe she was drinking either Grand Marnier's, Cavassier, something.
Jay Senior, big Cavassier guy back in the day.
She got hammered.
Pass the Cavassier. You know, song.
To the point that Randy and I had to basically carry her through the airport to the gate.
Oh, this is taking a turn.
She was hammered.
Yeah.
Huh. You didn't take advantage of her.
So anyway, at first I thought it was just, you know, maybe the booze talking because she's hugging me and you have my number. You better call me.
Beer goggles.
And, Cavassier goggles.
And I did. I called her and I said, so was that the booze talking? Or she goes, no, I really enjoy talking to you. And
nice.
So we kind of hit it off. And
there's nothing like young love.
No, I think the first time I went and drove to see her was Peoria, I think it was. The tour was in Peoria. And
Plowsy just perked up.
So I drove to Peoria.
You go up there and sharpen her skates, did you?
Did you plow in Peoria?
Yeah, we plowed in Peoria.
Nice.
Then I woke up that morning getting dressed to leave, and I said, oh, by the way, can you sign a picture for my sister?
For the Gobble Bowl.
Well before Gobble. Yeah, my sister's a big fan. Sign a picture way before I leave.
Before I leave. Thanks for the time.
Did you get a selfie with her? So,
did you cut
a picture,
that guy?
There's actually a picture of me and her
I've seen a picture.
In front of my Monte Carlo in front of the arena.
Now, where was the engine in the Monte Carlo, the front or the back? Just clearing
that
up before the text line.
I can't remember if it was a two-door or four-door.
Oh. And would you back into park or forward park?
We kind of parked right in front of the entrance to the arena. And
probably had a pass.
Here's another story. You can go ahead and call me a liar, but I bought that Monte Carlo. It was used at the time. I think it was a 79 Monte Carlo.
That's a nice ride.
Yeah, it was a nice auto. But I bought that on winnings from bowl season where I think I only lost one bowl game and took my winnings and bought a Monte Carlo.
Just to be clear, their texters are having some confusion. You did not, the relationship did not start in a physical manner when she was drunker than a skunk at the Charcoal House.
He made no play for her at the airport.
I told my dad, can you turn your back? I'm going to bang her here on this table at the Charcoal House.
I think that's what Rick Pitino did.
Right, that's what he does.
Well, I don't think there are any people there.
Timmy Tom.
No, I don't take advantage of girls from the
says, drunk. Shocking and Iggy love story starts with a passed out woman.
That's pretty good, actually.
She and Randy weren't tonight?
And there's also some confusion. Now, you said she came with her partner, correct?
Her skating partner.
Randy Gardner.
Randy.
Now, does that count as a cuck situation? The text line wants to know.
No, he wasn't into
it. You said
women.
They had a relationship.
You said what, though?
Randy liked fellas.
Did you say they had a relationship?
Randy was a
skating relationship. They'd known each other since kids, and they're still good friends to this day.
Randy would be more into Vic Tabak.
You should have brought your brother for him.
You know what? I can't tell these stories when you do that, because then I got to stop and write down drops.
Oh, that's good.
I forget. So yeah, she was fun to be around. She was a fun girl.
I would bet she's a little spitfire.
And then when I saw the bike, I didn't know any of this about her.
What?
You know, it's not like every time I saw her, she was smashed.
What?
The night in Peoria, she'd had a few cocktails.
Why sure?
Obviously, a few at Charcoal House.
Sure, well, who wouldn't?
But when I saw this biography come out, because we'd kind of lost track with each other, and she did help
she
me.
Answering your calls.
She was the one that got me to meet Stevie Nicks for the first time. Her and Stevie Nicks were really good friends.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you had a little fling with her, too. Yeah.
Trifecta.
Not really a fling.
brushed against her.
But then she did the Lifetime Ty Babylonia story.
Right.
She did. And I'm watching this, and it's like, my God, how many dudes is she with?
Oh, yeah. You're the only one.
And then there's one time she's living with her brother, and this guy comes out of the bedroom, and who are you?
Yeah, who's that?
Met her in a bar. God, would it killed you to throw a Kenny in there? Get my character in there some point?
Oh, so you weren't mad that she had slept with a lot of men. You were mad that she didn't mention
you. I was mad
you.
That I wasn't part of the movie.
Right. Should have been in the film.
I should have been. Could have done.
Boy, I'd love to have her come out to the September 21st TMA Live at Dorset if we could bring her in.
What happened to these two?
Absolutely.
Ty.
Ty.
Yeah. Just come.
Just call her up. See if that number still works.
Yeah.
Now, just to be clear, texts are trying to get a better grasp of the situation. You're clarifying that your dad did not roofie her that night at Charcoal House.
Probably pre-roofie.
Please don't bring my family into
it. You brought your family into it.
Well, he works.
Yeah, but you're accusing my dad of roofing somebody.
Okay, I apologize.
I said my dad was a bartender. I've talked about my dad a lot being one of the best well-known bartenders in St. Louis.
No doubt.
But no.
But Select is the official beer.
Take advantage of people. So, and do me a favor too. I mean, yeah. you know, this is all playful with the texters and the,
yes.
I don't, you know, it's sure. really, it's fun.
It's fun.
But don't, and it's, this isn't cool. Don't do it again. Don't go on to Ty Babylonia's fan page or her Wikipedia page and start putting stuff in there like you did last time.
Who did that?
Who are you speaking to?
No, they did that.
Yeah, somebody pointed out to me, well, somebody had fun with the Wikipedia, said, and she once dated David Brenner, had a toured love affair with AM radio producer Kenny Stroh in St. Louis.
I kind of like that.
You know, sounded
no, it's not cool. So.
No, they don't need to do that. Don't
no,
do
they
that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Do not do that.
It was passionate that night in P-Town.
Yep. It sure was.
Oh, you cracked me up,
it's
man.
Dorset where we'll be for that TMA Live on 921. Bring your wife.
9 months later, Plowsy was born.
How does Ty look these days, Iggy?
What do you want?
How does Ty look these days?
I can just go by pictures. I haven't seen her in person. She's still cute.
Oh, sure.
She was doing some L.A. Midday show, Midday L.A. or Morning L.A., something like that.
At her own gig?
I think that's gone now.
Good for her.
Man, the text line is nuts.
Well, just read them all. I don't care. I don't want people to think that you're protecting me by not reading their text. If
no, she was on a stamp, a Paraguayan stamp. How about that?
She's from Paraguay,
is it?
She's 57 years of old. Her former coach was Johnny Nix.
Yeah.
Stephen Wildwood says, cooking, gardening, owns a Beetle. You sure it wasn't Randy Gardner you were with?
It's his brother.
Randy was a very nice guy.
Sure he was. Nice fellow. Yep. Nice, good skater.
Most of them are.
All right, well,
good bottom.
The text
go
are
ahead,
good.
Read them.
No,
I don't
no,
really
we
got to
get to
come on.
No, we got plenty of time.
Well, this is, by the way, this is a giant email of the day because
yeah, we got to get the emails.
It's an elimination.
It's not that I'm not.
Day.
I read the worst of them.
All right, I don't want people to think that you're protecting me.
No,
but we sent in texts. They never read them because they're bad. No, can't we don't sugarcoat them. Anything.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah, you ever hear the emails?
They're pretty bad until Doug cuts them off. Which he does.
They
sometimes they're not even vile
to
when he does it.
Protect us from FCC
fines. If he just doesn't like a baseball take,
what do
you
mean
he cuts
they're
not
it vile?
Off. Like when somebody holds Matt Carpenter accountable and you just cut them off.
I've probably saved us from $1 billion worth of FCC fines.
That's probably true. All right, well, we should go ahead and get to email of the day because it's a big day. Stephen Wildwood must win to force a tie with Misty Plops. They're playing, of course, for the suspension special at Hot Shots. Hot Shots was voted the number one sports bar in St. Louis by readers of the Riverfront Times. You can visit one of their 11 St. Louis area locations today. Plowsy, do we have the emails?
You ready, boys?
Yes.
Yes.
Bring heat.
Morn. Hello. I see you lying there. Relax. Let me slide my hand up those umbros.
This is the first one. That's how we're going to get started.
Just
roll my clink conversation.
Touch that
this
rewarding.
This is the first email.
No, you got to hear this. Let me gently touch that rewarding hot glue gun. Ah, yes. Daddy milk. Let it slide so gently down my throat. Mmm. Let that boy seed sprout.
That's enough.
Tunnel.
Think about it. Tunnel 12,000. Needed to get that hot glue gun reference in there. I really enjoyed that one when I read it.
You can't say things like that.
5 minutes ago.
Tunnels 12,000 has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name will be reflected in the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension log. You, hey, thank you, right, see, for the ink pen.
O.M.
What did you use yesterday?
Right business products.
Daddy's milk spout?
Yeah, I like the hot glue gun. I thought
I like
was,
the hot glue gun,
that might
too.
Be my yep. vote if I'm a tiebreaker.
I didn't care for it.
Next work yesterday. Nothing defines the Matheny bow tie era greater than 3 errors, 11 strikeouts, and a trade of a 25-man roster player to add to your collection of minor league middle infield talent from Latin America. But that is not my focus today. Nothing makes a sponsor happier than confusing a promotion code. Quarterback, cornerback, running back. Hilarious.
I've said it very clearly.
Why don't you give the wrong phone number and website, too? And while you're at it, ask them to bring you in some food. When is Tim getting back from his snowflake, liberal, jerko-like paternity leave? The only sponsor left will be that damn sticker bus when he returns. And J. Iggy Nickel Randolph. My wife is from the same hometown as Hediger, so I'm sure she can put in a good word for you, so stop it. Can we get your legal name for the filling of the register?
Filing.
Can we get your legal name for the filing of the restraining order? Stick to women that are so B-fib that they let you molest their feet for tickets?
No.
Tired of it? That is from Stephen Wildwood.
Sure was. Steve in Wildwood.
Jennings Randolph III is the technical, the true name.
For the restraining order.
Yeah.
Yes, and just type in to give it out against quarterback, right?
The code is quarterback.
Okay, so type in.
I can't be more clear.
Type in Nickelback and you should get right in.
When you think of code, you think Y.A. Tittle.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Two spaces and okay. Quarterback. Guys, Plops here. I'd like to thank the listeners who came to my slumber party last night, and I'd like to apologize for my Uncle Manuel's behavior. Doug, you know the type. A 50-plus ethnic Fox High dropout that gets a little bit of a buzz on and starting to get a little handsy. Yeah, well, Manuel's old school, I guess. So he thinks slumber parties need to be full of pranks. So as we all laid sleeping last night, he snuck into the room with a bowl of warm water to try and pull that old trick on my friend Jesse. Jesse woke up around 2 a.m. to find his tentacles soaking in a bowl of water.
Okay, that's
and my
enough.
Uncle just laughing hysterically in the corner, wearing nothing but two stolen nipple shields.
Who is it, Plowsy?
The nipple shield.
Thing get,
are is this you, Misty Plow?
Yeah, you don't want me to finish?
He's got himself suspended. I'm sorry.
Right. So he can't win?
I don't think so.
I don't know. That first paragraph was really good, though.
Well, this is huge, so finish it. I mean, this
got
is
got too vile.
This is for the month.
Things started to settle down around 4 when Jerry woke to find Manuel spooning him, which isn't bad considering where we'd started. But as Jerry tried to get up, he realized Manuel was neck deep in his jib jab.
See, that's vile.
Anyway, if anyone listening wants to sign up for the next slumber party that takes place this Saturday night, you can register online at spreadeagledeacon.com and make sure to use the keyword cornerback. Thanks, Misty Plops.
I didn't care for
it. I like
it.
that second paragraph.
Don't
needed.
Say knuckles deep.
So he's out.
He didn't say knuckles. He
said
got nuts.
Himself suspended. Though.
He's in for everybody but Doug J.
All right.
Welcome to Candy Crushers Anonymous. Right. Everyone say hi to our new member, Jennings. I see you helped yourself to some coffee and cookies. By the way, the macaroons were left by a nice orange gentleman up the hall in Murders Anonymous. Mine was a little crunchy because there was a pinky finger baked into it. But delightful nonetheless. Jennings, you had something to share? Yes. I lied when I told my friends I only play Candy Crush 3 hours a day. It's really more like 18. That's okay, Jennings. Admitting you have a problem is the first step. Let's all hold hands and recite the Serenity Prayer all together now. My kids hate me. So does my wife. Candy Crush destroyed my wife. Or destroyed my life. That is from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Nicely done, Willie.
Pullman's. Independence Day speech.
He should come out to the TMA Live at Dorset on September 21st. You know, Bud Select is the official beer of TMA.
Morning, fellas. Just here to tell you to pick Plops instead of Steve, because then Steve will have to make good and on his word to rob and feed the great Larry Nickel at a TMA Live.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
If that's not doable, we could also allow the loser to have to spend one night in Bacon Face's apartment and live to tell the tale by not becoming fertilizer for the sunflowers. Worst case scenario, the loser would at least get a great last meal of TV dinners and captivity that would be shared to the fan page. To the winner go the spoils and Doug's underwear. That is from Carlos Spicy Wiener.
I didn't
Wiener.
Like that last sentence.
You never don't know much about me because I've never prepared a TV dinner.
And this is the last one. You guys ready, boys?
A lot of them.
Hey, jabronis, after the talk about baseball cards, I checked my collection and came across a Power Top 1984 Doug Vaughn rookie card. Here's the breakdown of his year. Position, catcher. Batting order, loved the two-hole. MVB, most valuable bottom. Number one ball massager in the league. Number one in handling wood. Served 15 days on the DL for a nasty case of taint mites. Excuse me. The most intriguing part of the card went the picture. It was a close-up of Doug's face. His expression was one of pleasure as the picture was taken while I was entering my tongue in his moist meat suit.
That's enough!
That is from Mae Young,
you
Newborn Hand. And that is your email of the day. Very good batch. I messed up a couple, but still strong.
You were good. You were good.
Young's newborn hands.
Wow, that's a lot. You, and a lot on the line. Stephen Wildwood must win to force a tie with Plops. And if he doesn't, he has to, am I correct, Robin feed Larry? Is this correct?
I don't think you can force a gentleman
I'm going to put my vote for tomorrow. I'm going to go Stephen Wildwood because I want it to all come down to tomorrow. But you that's know, just me.
I was going to go Stephen Wildwood. But I got a kick out of Mae Young's newborn hand. I thought there's a lot of creativity there. I'm going to go Mae Young's newborn hand.
I'm going Stephen Wildwood.
Oh, it's all coming down to the last day.
Stephen Wildwood lives to see another day.
Plowsy, I may have to go to the Post tonight and get that official cheesesteak just to get ready for tomorrow's big program.
Every day I'm in my car, I remind myself of the Post because every time I light my lighter to do show prep,
you got a
post lighter.
And you like the Post lighters.
Oh, I dig them. I dig them.
Stay posted, my friends.
Indeed. We will stay posted. You will listen to Frank Cusimano Show featuring Frank Cusimano, also known as the Hollywood Casino Press Box. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. We'll see you tomorrow.
Elysium Restoration and Design specializes in basements, kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. Elysium has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget, whether it's a basic remodel or your dream project. The owner, Jason, started with an idea and a pickup truck, and over the past 20 years, he's seen every type of job there is and continues to provide high-quality work to his customers. Visit online at erdstl.com or find Elysium on Facebook. Elysium Restoration and Design, trust is one of the things they build well.